Here is the season. Herbert to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Chargers!
And we'll go to overtime.
Los Angeles takes its first timeout.
Absolutely ridiculous.
It's Jacobs. Breaks through.
Make. Season over. Miss. Both teams are in. Snap. Hold.
Jackpot, baby! Let's go to Cincinnati!
Let's go!
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Windows 11 and Intel. And what a crazy way to cap off Week 18, as the playoff field is now set with the Titans and Packers earning the one seeds in their respective conferences. They get to rest up during Wild Card Weekend and then face the worst remaining seeds. Meanwhile, the Niners clinched the final playoff spot in the NFC on Sunday. But there was mayhem in the AFC as the Steelers, that's right, the Steelers somehow found a way. The Raiders also booked their spots. We'll get to all of that over the course of the next hour as we say hello. Welcome to NFL Live. We got a full house on a busy Monday.
Yeah, I ain't super comfortable with this setup.
What's wrong?
I just thought of it.
You three. Come on now. We're 30 seconds into the show.
I just thought of it.
We got to do better.
Trying to push it off the rails.
No segregation.
We got diversity and inclusion.
We got Marcus Spears to my left. We got Ryan Clark to his. I'm just going to keep powering through to keep us on the rails.
Hey, America, you really got to be friends to tell these bad jokes.
He is, of course, Dan Orlovsky. I am Field Yates, trying to figure out a way to make it through this. We've also have Mina Kimes and Adam Schefter. Mina in Los Angeles and Schefter from New York as we get started on a very busy news day in the NFL. The NFL regular season is officially over, which means some teams are making changes at the head coaching spot. And we're going to begin with Schefter. It's been a busy day, Schefter, but take us through all the news. And let's start in Chicago.
Yeah, that is where it started this morning, Field, with Matt Nagy, the head coach of the Bears, getting fired this morning. There really wasn't much mystery about whether Nagy would keep his job. The mystery was with the general manager, Ryan Pace, and the Bears decided that they did not want to give him another opportunity to hire another head coach. And so the Bears sweep out both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, and they'll have Bill Polian help them on their new coaching search. Mike Zimmer also out in the NFC North. Head coach of the Vikings fired this morning, along with his general manager, Rick Spielman. So the Vikings and Bears both do the same thing, firing their head coach, firing their general manager, and setting their franchises in a new course and a new direction. We'll see where the Vikings go next. And the surprise of the day came in Miami, where Brian Flores, who won 7 of his last 8 games, who swept the season series from the New England Patriots, who had a 4-2 record against Bill Belichick, got let go this morning. He and the Miami Dolphins parted ways. Obviously, there was a disagreement on any number of issues, from the hiring of certain assistant coaches to the way that the organization would be run to who would be making decisions. But there were a lot of issues there. And ultimately, the Dolphins decide that they're going to side with the people that they have, and they're going to let Brian Flores go. And Brian Flores now would figure to be one of the top coaching candidates available. And the Dolphins will be looking for a head coach of their own, with Chris Greer, the general manager, being one of the men that helped lead the search.
Schefter, 19 wins in 2 seasons doesn't buy you what it used to back in the day in the NFL. Schefter will be with us throughout the show, because at this rate, with how things have gone today, who knows what could happen next.
We see what side you on, Mina. We see you.
Marcus, let's start in Miami. And hello again to Mina Kimes, who will be back with us soon enough in studio. But let me ask you, Marcus, this move strikes me as a head scratcher. Why did Miami make this move? 19 wins in 2 years.
Yeah, the move is stupid. Let me get that before I get into analysis, because we're talking about the future at this point. When you think about Brian Flores, the one thing I look at, I remember this. Remember we were going through the LSU coaching hire with Ed O. Sometimes you got to go with a guy that can galvanize players, right, and can delegate. That's what Flores was to me, right? A great defensive mind, been in that system. We all know the football acumen. You lose 7 games and your players respond by going 8-9?
Yeah, that's real.
And you out the gate?
Yep.
Like, I'm thinking about ownership in Miami. And so what are you expecting? 2 more wins a season?
Yep.
And then navigating through the situation you navigated through last year. But moving forward, the only thing I can wrap my head around, fellas, and MK, is that they want to get offensive mindset at the head coaching spot, development of tool. We don't even know what they're going to do at the QB spot. But this one is a head scratcher, and I'm really pissed off.
Feels
about
very Jim Caldwell Detroit-ish, right?
Ooh, right.
Interesting parallel right there. What do you think, Mina, about this one?
Yeah, I agree that it's puzzling. What I find equally puzzling is that Chris Greer, the GM, kept his job while Flores was let go. Look, whatever you think of the quarterback in Miami and the decision to take him over Justin Herbert, the single biggest problem with this football team has been the offensive line. Yep. Chris Greer has spent 4 first and second round draft picks, and the only one that's worked out is Laremy Tunsil, who's no longer on the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
That group has just been an absolute disaster for Miami. And while I like this year's draft class, Waddle, Javon Holland, they made some good picks, his recent record is not good, and I'm surprised that they're putting trust in him to take the next step. And Dan, if they're trying to fix the offense with an offensive-minded coach, you wonder, well, who's picking the offensive personnel?
That's a great point, Mina. My mind goes to Tua, because there's two situations here for Tua. Let's say the new head coach that they bring in wants to keep Tua. Well, Tua's going to be going into his third NFL season with this third offensive coach, his third different system, and his third different voice that he's going to hear. That is incredibly difficult for a quarterback to develop under that situation. Well, let's say that the coach that comes in goes, you know what, I don't want Tua. Right. I don't want to marry myself to Tua. I want to move on. Well, now we've got a player going into a third year in the NFL that's got to find a new home. Right. That's got to restart everything. And we're talking about a top five pick that's crazy talented that's going to sit there and everyone's going to go, well, how come you didn't pan out? Well, this is the reasons why young quarterbacks get ruined. Right. And the second thing my mind goes to is the new head coach better be very wary of what you are walking into. Very hesitant because to your point, Babyface, they just fired Brian Flores and he had 19 wins in 2 years.
Yeah.
So the expectations are going to be incredibly high.
Well, my thing is this. Who the hell are you going to get?
Right.
Right. So like that's the point. Like you brought up, you know, Tua's development. Mina's talked about the type of draft picks they had in the offensive line and the way that Flores has found a way to actually succeed and almost excel into what the position that he was put in. So what kind of coach you going to get? Is he a dude that's going to galvanize the locker room? Is he a dude that's going to be a motivator? Are you going to go get a quarterback whisperer or guru to help Tua Tagovailoa? Is it going to be about offense? Are you looking for a different personality? Yeah. Did Brian Flores rub someone in the building the wrong way? Mm-hmm. Like, there are all these different things that go into it, but when you watch this team on the field, they fight, they get through adversity, and they find ways to win games against good football teams at times. And so when you have a coach that's done all that, you have to go get an upgrade. Somebody tell me who and where the upgrade is.
Well said. You know, Shefty ran through a bunch of head coaching changes, and I think a lot of them will be filed under "we expected that to happen."
Yeah.
I got a lot of unsolicited surprise and, frankly, some frustration around the league today about Brian Flores.
Babyface, we cover this league every day. And I didn't expect Brian Flores to get fired.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, let's talk about the elephant. This is an African-American head coach with almost a 50% winning percentage.
Yeah.
And he's out after his team just won 8 out of the last 9 games of the season.
Jim
crazy.
Caldwell.
Yeah, you're right.
And I hope they get Matt Patricia Cousin.
Yeah.
First time they've had back-to-back wins since 2003. Back-to-back winning seasons since 2003.
It should be a results-based business. Sometimes it is not. So that was the drama that took place earlier today off the field. There was some late-night drama, which technically on the East Coast was early this morning. To the late fourth quarter we go between the Chargers and the Raiders. Dan, the Chargers down by 7 with less than 10 seconds to go. A seed from Justin Herbert and Jalen Guyton.
Yeah, there's the arm talent, right? Left hash all the way driven across the field to the right hash. This ball comes out so quickly. Shuffle to your left. See the receiver, 7 stop, corner stop, and throw below the belt buckle, an incredible throw.
And they go for the extra point there to tie the game, send it into overtime. If this results in a tie, both teams make the playoffs, but of course, both of them looking to win in overtime. Here's Derek Carr, 3rd and 8, a huge pass to the left sideline to Zay Jones.
I think it's the throw of the season, really. I mean, man coverage, 3rd and 8, to make that throw is incredible.
Yeah, big moment here. So 3rd and 4, 38 seconds to go. The Chargers decide to take a timeout after the Vegas Raiders have been sort of moving slowly during their prior 2 offensive plays. Following play, Josh Jacobs breaks through the left side. He runs for a first down to the 29-yard line, giving them a fresh set of downs and now an opportunity to win the game. Their kicker, Daniel Carlson, has never missed a kick in Allegiant Stadium. Here's both coaches weighing in on that decision. Call the timeout.
Was there any consideration to just running down the clock there and not even attempting a field goal?
It was a conversation we were talking about. You know, I don't know if you know, we ran the ball there and they didn't call a timeout. So I think they were probably thinking the same thing, you know, and then we had the big run through there. And when we got the big run, it got us, we thought it was advantageous field goal position for us. We were going to take the field goal and try to win it.
I don't think it changed their mindset because they were going to run the ball on the play before and then they ran the ball the very next play. So we wanted to make sure that we got our run defense in there. And we, you know, we obviously didn't execute well enough, but we wanted to get our premium one-back run defense in here, and that's what we did.
All right, Dan, it's the timeout call that has been the talk of the town here this morning. Was it that big of a deal in your estimation?
I really think it was, and it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I think Rich Bisaccia almost answering the question before the reporter's done, saying, like, yeah, we were very much so going to do something, and then they called timeout. The timeout was poor. But the inability to stop the run was even poorer by that defense.
Yeah.
You know, if you call that timeout and you stop the run, I don't think we're having this conversation. But the fact that you call the timeout, and then not only that, but what that allows is the Raiders to go to the sideline, see what you're doing defensively. Are you changing personnel? And then that maybe changes the way that they are calling that run play. I think they were going to call it run play no matter what, but calling a specific run play versus the personnel or the front that you might be giving them. But the inability to stop the run is the biggest thing. But once Rich Bisaccia says, once we popped that long run, it changed everything, that makes me think that they were going to be okay with calling a run and we'll see what happens.
Well, here's the problem. Nobody wants to say it because we all believe that Brandon Staley is a great young mind and will end up being a very good head coach in this NFL. But he's the reason that the Los Angeles Chargers aren't in the playoffs. And let's just be frank about it. And it's not just about the timeout, right? It's also going for it backed up in your own end when you have fourth and one. All fourth and ones are not created the same. Mm. Just because you believe that you can get 1 yard at any time doesn't mean that you should always try. It is okay to end every possession in a kick. That is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, Brandon Staley doesn't believe that. You can go back to the Kansas City Chiefs game. We had some of the same head-scratching decisions in that game. Also, go to the Houston Texans. Your job as the head coach is to have your team ready to play. You're playing one of the worst teams in football, and you give up 41 points, and you're a defensive specialist or a defensive mind. You can go as far back to the Baltimore Ravens. I understand who Brandon Staley wants to be. Mm. I understand that he wants the perception of being aggressive. Being aggressive doesn't have to be aligned with being stupid. And that's what that was last night.
Mina, I want you to weigh in on this decision to call that timeout circumstantially last night. What did you think?
Yeah, I think Dan makes a good point about the Raiders having the opportunity to change their play. I do think they were going to try to run and actually win the game. Language is being parsed a little bit. But I disagree with what Ryan, what you just said about Brandon Staley and the aggression. It's also why they've won some games this season. I didn't agree with, by the way, the fourth down decision in their own territory, but the Bucs did it a few weeks ago. It worked in the same area. We just didn't talk about it because it worked. Again, I didn't agree with it. I thought it was too aggressive at that point in the game. I also don't think it's why they lost the game, giving up three there, which is what happened. They lost because of their horrible run defense. It's been why they've lost games all season. I mean, we're talking about a run defense. Forget about the timeout. Forget about the go for it. They gave up 23 yards to Jalen Richard on third and 23. If you want to pinpoint a play in which it became very clear to me that this Chargers defense was not ready for the postseason, that was it. And that does fall on Brandon Staley. You're right. He is the defensive coordinator. He was supposed to come in and fix it. I think they've got a lot of work to do on the personnel side of that ball going forward. But that is the biggest issue with the Chargers this season.
Okay.
It's okay.
You get to read your notes?
Bruh. Because, see, this is the battle that I fight. Like, the timeout, I'm not focused on the timeout. I'm focused on being a defensive player. Mm. One, coach, don't give it back to him on the 18-yard line. That's just a defensive guy. Coach, let's punt. Please let us go out and see if we can change the
possession. Let us earn our check.
Please. I get it. I understand it. I'm not even going. I'm not even going to act like I understood why you go for it there. But more than that, after the timeout, Mina just said it. You just said it. Dan just said it. The run defense, and you play vanilla coming out of a timeout. A run blitz is the perfect call for that situation.
You're selling out at that point.
I couldn't even get the words out. When you call timeout, a coach's job, once he called timeout, is to try to gain an advantage.
Right.
That's why you call timeout. Right. And you go out and play.
It was a season-long problem for them on the ground. They allowed the most rushing yards per game as a franchise.
I'm putting 11 up at the box.
1987 season. Unbelievable. Hey, a second-half comeback earned the 49ers a win and a playoff spot. RC will tell you why they are a really, really dangerous team to keep an eye on in the postseason. Plus, changes at the helm in Chicago. What does this mean for their young quarterback, Justin Fields and why RC says he's the key to any coach making a home in Windy City. NFL Live is presented by Windows 11 and Intel, brings you closer to what you love. And, in part, by the Bob's Burgers movie. Don't miss the new trailer during the college football playoff championship national title game tonight.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There was uncertainty last week whether Jimmy G would even play for the 49ers in Week 18. He did. He helped them punch their playoff ticket on Sunday officially. They came back and beat the Rams after trailing 17-0. That ties the largest comeback in a season finale to clinch a playoff berth since 1990. That, according to Elias. So while Jimmy G made some plays down the stretch, it really was the run game for the 49ers that got them going and in a groove. How about this? In the first half, they had 10 rushing yards and just one rushing yard before contact. Both of those, their fewest in the opening half of any game ever under Kyle Shanahan. After halftime, the Niners called a design run 54% of the time, but of 125 yards on the ground. Again, this is trailing 17-0, RC. 17-0. That's when you throw. No, they ran. What makes this offense so dangerous?
They're just so dang aware, man. Like, they just know who they are, and you can't get them out of it. You know, Mike Tyson said everybody has a plan until they're punched in the face. Like, we watched Frank Gore fight Darren Williams, and when Darren Williams threw him out the ring, he became a different person, right? Because he didn't understand how to regress to the mean. But when you watch Frank the San Francisco 49ers.
Darren Williams, Frank Gore.
when you watch the 49ers play, especially in that second half, they remained true to who they were. They put Jimmy Garoppolo in the right positions to make plays. They still ran the football with Deebo Samuels and Eli Mitchell. They made sure that they kept the motions going. They don't get in a place where they say, you know what, we're going to try to be somebody we do not have the personnel to be. There is no panic with this team. This team is truly the definition of slow and steady win the race. They don't try to speed themselves up to match what the other team is doing. They say, you know what, we're going to be us. We're going to rush the passer on defense, and we're going to be physical offensively.
I also think that they got Deebo Samuel, who should be in the conversation for Offensive Player of the Year. Cooper Kupp's going to win it, but he really took over this football game. You get the motion, 3rd and 2. Watch the communication by the defense. Now, you talked about that motion, RC. Now, when Kittle goes back across the line of scrimmage, that defender, Allie White, she's got vision on him. He steps down just for a step. That allows Jennings to collapse down. Now, watch his burst. Like, you've got him one-on-one with the corner on the perimeter. This is 100 out of 100 going to be won by Deebo Samuel.
He don't really want to tackle.
And then you get, you know, people committed to stopping him. So you give him the ball in the backfield. Two things have to happen. He's got to take this ball and sell it like he is right now. Mm-hmm. Jennings, again, has got to be like that fake crack blocker. Yep. Jalen Ramsey's eyes in the backfield. There's that easy touchdown because he's able to throw it. I thought this was the play of the game, though. Up top, Jalen Ramsey's got palms coverage. It's cover 4 unless that number 2 defense receiver, George Kittle, goes an out route. And it becomes a cover 2 flat corner. Deebo's the corner route, but look at his ability to yards after the catch to go create. And the reality is this. I don't think there's another guy in the NFL. It's almost like Marcus trying to copy me with the sport coat and blazer. Like, you can't copy Deebo Samuel. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Interesting.
And we saw him take over that game yesterday.
Wow.
Now I'm going to be serious. I don't think there's another person in the NFC playoffs outside of the quarterbacks that can take over a game like Deebo Samuel. Maybe Devontae Adams. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But I don't think there's another guy like him.
Well, I think I don't mean to cut you off, but the thing is also no one's used in the way that he's used. If you can't get him the football on the outside, they put him in the backfield and make sure they have it in his hands.
Hey, to that end, he's the first wide receiver ever with 8 rushing touchdowns in a season ever. No one's ever done it. He's the first one to ever do so in a single season. But let's talk the Rams here for a second, Swaggoo. Is 2 more interceptions for Stafford on Sunday. Dan, I'm not looking at you for a moment.
Hey,
is he a liability for this team? Is he a liability for them going into the playoffs in your eyes?
I mean, yes, right now. I mean, listen, man, last week, and I wanted to kill my brother, but we did not, America, we did not want him to catch hell today. It was a terrible Sunday.
You guys have been good family for me today.
but here's where I go. And the reason why my concern before this game laid there is because that is what costs you games. Right, like it's as minute and general of a football term as you could possibly have, but the premium put on taking care of the football, especially at this time. The one thing I want Matt Stafford to understand, because he's talented, he can make all the throws, bro, your team is good enough for you not to be Superman.
Sure.
For you not to think that you have to make these great throws we've seen you make throughout your career. And the concern going into the playoffs is this: is it in your head now? Are you going to be coy? Are you going to be worried about be pushing honest, the ball down
think,
the field?
I don't think Nine gets that. I just watch him, and I don't know him like Dan knows him.
He's costing them.
But I don't think he has that bone to be scared. So he's still going to push it. He's just going to have to protect it in very important moments.
Yeah,
in playoffs.
Tied for the most interceptions this year with Trevor Lawrence, 17 apiece to lead the NFL. We'll find out next Monday when they play the Cardinals. Head on NFL Live. You are win and you are in.
Oh, won't be here this
That's what every
guys.
Team wants, right? Well, the Colts didn't want it enough, apparently, and there's plenty of blame to go around. We'll discuss that.
You should have put on the damn hoodie today.
You're watching NFL Live, presented by Windows 11 and Intel.
Intel.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back on NFL Live, the Colts travel to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. You win, you are in. Here we go. Early third quarter, and Indy actually down 13-3. Carson Wentz drops back to pass. Damian Wilson, the linebacker, blitzes up the middle. Pops the ball out and recovered.
Babyface, don't make a bad play and make it worse.
Yeah, so Wentz throws. How about this one? The next play. This one goes through into Damian Wilson's hands. Interception. Wilson was all over the field yesterday. He was terrific. That was interception
Great
for him
play.
After a previous sack fumble. And then this might have been one of the best plays from Trevor Lawrence's rookie season. Bad snap. Corrals the ball. Finds a way to break the pocket.
Yes.
Throws it up to Marvin Jones Jr.
Great play.
Beautiful touchdown right there. The Jaguars are in control of this game. Here we go, thinking to ourselves, all right, the Colts, they're not going to lose this game. Will they? Down by 20 early in the fourth quarter. They got enough time here. Fourth and goal from the 2-yard line. The best running back in football this year, Jonathan Taylor. Nuh-uh, stuffed. 26-11 is the final. The Jaguars defense playing inspired football. The Colts come up short. They are not in the NFL's postseason. So, Dan, obviously you have been a strong advocate for Carson Wentz. How much of yesterday's disaster falls on his shoulders?
A significant amount of it. I think this is the perfect example of the win with or win because.
These guys are killing me.
Win with or win because. I think that the Colts won a lot of games with Carson Wentz this year. Yesterday was a game that they needed to win because of Carson Wentz. Now, make no mistake about it. This loss falls on everybody. You don't go down as a playoff caliber team and lose to a 2-win team because one person played well. Everybody played poorly. Their offensive line could not protect 7 sacks. They could not run the football. I hate my people I'm on television with. Receivers couldn't get open. They never got after Trevor Lawrence. They couldn't cover. And that was the moment where you needed your quarterback to go be great and cover up for some of those deficiencies. Carson Wentz couldn't. I bet that he would, and I was wrong.
I just wanted to get away from that heat, RC.
It was hot over there.
Listen, man, here's the thing for me, and this has been my concern with Carson. I have been hard on Carson, but I have never thought Carson lacked talent. I've always thought he was a very
Absolutely.
Talented quarterback.
Absolutely.
Carson Wentz has sheer panic when a play doesn't work out. That's his history now. Like, I focus so much.
I didn't think
this
about
particular
that.
Situation, this is a run blitz. Who are you trying to flip the ball to? Look at his arm motion.
Very last minute.
What? Take the sack, bro, and let's line up again. But we've seen this. We saw this earlier this year. You in your own end zone. You try to chunk it. It is sheer panic. And the hard part, and Dan, I got, bro, I love you. And you know we've battled on this, but on a serious note, we see Carson make great throws that all of these other quarterbacks make. We see the athleticism, the ability to extend plays. The problem in this league, though, and what I try to explain to people all the time, because we about to have this kumbaya by Jimmy Garoppolo, bro, you judged on that as a quarterback. Like, you, Derek Carr been throwing for 3,500, 4,000 yards a season. Everybody been like, I can't wait till the Raiders get a new quarterback. Because those are the moments, and those are the ones you cannot trust Carson Wentz in.
Let's get Mina involved here. Mina, what do you think about Wentz's performance yesterday and how much culpability he deserves for that disaster loss?
Mina, stop laughing at Dan.
Well, he deserves a lot, but the Carson Wentz implosion wasn't surprising. Sorry. What was surprising for me was seeing Indianapolis get dominated in the trenches by Jacksonville. The offensive line having their worst game of the season. The pass rush basically was non-existent, which is a big part of why Trevor Lawrence had such an impressive game. And that's where I start to question the roster construction in Indy. Look, I have a ton of respect for everything Chris Ballard has done. His approach has been to build from within outside of the big DeForest Buckner trade. But when you look at this game, suddenly you see holes at key positions, left tackle, edge rusher, cornerback, those marquee positions where building within might not be enough for this Indianapolis team. And that's not to excuse Carson Wentz. That's simply to assess what I saw yesterday and why it went so horribly wrong.
Man, I'm not excusing nobody. I'm not blaming it on the GM. Everybody dead freaking wrong. And here's why. We could talk about the roster construction today. We wasn't talking about it 3 weeks ago, right? 3 weeks ago, we were saying that the Indianapolis Colts were a team that no one wanted to face in the playoffs. This
Take
is a team.
Time, brother,
this is a team that goes to Buffalo and goes absolutely nuts and beats the brakes off of the Buffalo Bills. This is a team that we were expected to be a tough out in the playoffs. And if you got one game to win against the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't care if your roster is completely depleted of who in the hell you thought was going to be on the plane going to Jacksonville. You got some starters. You got to win this game. Mm. This game is all important to you, means nothing to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you go out and lay an egg like that. I would have loved to come in here and crush Dan and crush Carson Wentz. But here is what I'll say. When I went upstairs on Dan, I thought he was out of his mind, but he was right. And Carson and the entire Indianapolis coach team let him down, and now he got to eat this for another year.
Yeah, Dan just broke a mechanical pencil. Things are getting
spicy.
Just win
the freaking football game, man. Just win the game.
You know what, though? The Colts loss opened the door.
Who won?
For the Pittsburgh.
What?
That's right. Things were looking gloomy for the Steel Curtain just a few weeks
ago. Fire Mike Tomlin, they say.
But they made the playoffs on Sunday as a result of chaos. Here's what happened. They had to defeat the Ravens. They got that done in overtime behind a clutch fourth down conversion, then a late field goal from Chris Boswell. They also knew the Colts lose to the Jaguars, with Jacksonville, as we said, a massive underdog.
Bro.
And they found a way to just heckle Carson Wentz all afternoon and eliminate them. Finally, the Steelers needed the Raiders and Chargers not to tie last night. Vegas ultimately kicked a game-winning field goal as time expired in overtime. The Steelers needed no time to jump on Twitter after that ending, making it known that they love game-winning kicks. As the Steelers tweeted at 12:19 a.m., we're big fans of game-winning kicks. Dan, let me ask you about Big Ben yesterday, because they got the job done. It's not always pretty, but how did they get the job done?
Well, there's a singer named Toby Keith, and his song goes, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Third down clutch plays, dropout defenders in zone coverage, deep mesh. It's great versus man. It's not versus zone. Big Ben's got to do an awesome job of getting this ball over linebackers, but down before that corner hits. Third and nine, conversion. Down in the red zone, you got a seam by a tight end. You got a slant by your slot receiver. Watch the recoil. I want to throw the tight end right now, but he's not open. Freiermuth up top is one-on-one. Reset, get it to him. Third and six down in the red zone. Conversion leads to a touchdown. This, I think, is one of the plays of the game. Third and seven, two-man. Deep safety, trailing man coverage underneath. He's got that route. Look how quickly he's making this decision, and this ball is coming. That's a scary throw for
a
quarterback.
That's a great throw, bro.
That coverage is perfect.
Oh, my God.
But he beats it with the perfect throw. Big Ben in the second half of the fourth quarter in overtime yesterday was 16 of 20. He was 4-for-4 on third down or fourth down outside of the one Deontay Johnson drop.
Yep.
He was clutch.
We remember the moments.
The Steelers are now playing in the postseason. They play the Chiefs Sunday night. And still to come. Once again, Derek Carr and the Raiders found a way to win. But Dan wants to give some credit to the unit that stood out the most. That is next year on NFL Live. You're watching NFL Live, presented by Microsoft and Intel.
Intel.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
One week from tonight, the Rams and Cardinals cap off Super Wild Card Weekend with the first ever Monday Night Playoff game on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN+. Our MegaCash coverage also includes Peyton and Eli on ESPN2. Laura Rutledge will be back, along with the rest of this great NFL Live crew. Plus, the guys over at Daily Wager take you between the lines on ESPN+. And ESPN Deportes brings you a Spanish language version of the game. Trust me when I say we cannot wait for this. Time now for a Windows Field Report, and for that, we bring back Adam Schefter. Schefty, so much news on the coaching and GM front today. Take us through everything, starting with New York and the New York Giants specifically.
They who left office, Dave Gettleman stepped down, resigned from his position as the New York Giants. I think that's a question of how you want to put it, but the Giants gave him the ability to step away when I think everybody in New York agreed that they would be parting ways. In their statement, the Giants said that they were very disappointed about the product they put on the field, and they're looking to make dramatic improvements in that area. They've begun to send out request forms to interview for the new GM job, and that new GM would figure to have a say in Joe Judge's future. The Miami Dolphins parted ways with Brian Flores, the head coach, this morning. That was the surprise move of the day. Most people thought a coach who had won 7 of his last 8 games, who swept the season series from the New England Patriots, would be staying there, but the Dolphins decided to make that change, and Brian Flores figures to be amongst the top head coaching candidates available. And the Minnesota Vikings had a house cleaning today. Head coach Mike Zimmer out, general manager Rick Spielman out. The two men worked together the last 8 years in Minnesota, were unable to get the Super Bowl championship that city covets, and today the organization made the dramatic change, and now they will set out to go hire a new GM and a new head coach. And it's the same story in Chicago, which fired Matt Nagy, the head coach, which fired the general manager, Ryan Pace. No surprise that Nagy was sent packing today. Most people expected that would be the case. The drama came surrounding Ryan Pace, but the Bears decided that Ryan Pace had enough opportunities to hire a head coach. They weren't going to give him another one. And our former colleague at ESPN, Bill Polian, the Hall of Famer, will assist the family, the McCaskey family, in trying to find the new GM and a new head coach for the Chicago Bears. They've already put in for, amongst others, Leslie Frazier, the Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator.
Schefty, great stuff on a busy day. You have been all over it. Schefty, always dialed in. Thanks for your insight here.
Send me something so I can break some news, Schefty, please. Thank you.
I agree with the insider. Well, that's the read on Chicago from Schefty. Let's get some reaction on the moves in Chicago. RC, how does Justin Fields play into the decision to head coach for the Bears?
I think any coach that takes this job has to understand that Justin Fields' success is going to be directly correlated to how long they keep their doggone job. They're going to have to make sure that Justin Fields is successful. They're going to have to make sure that he can reach his potential. And he has to be a Pro Bowl caliber player for this team and for this coach in order for there to be some synergy there and allow them to grow together.
Yeah, I feel that, RC, but it also can't be just about Justin Fields. Like, this has to be, yes, about his development and his progress and his bright future. But it also has to be about the 52 other guys on that football team. A head coach that comes in and galvanizes this room, sees what they're good at, sees what they're not good at, is a great leader of men, and has a history of doing that, proven at this NFL level. Starts with the quarterback, but it's about everybody.
Yeah, it's a proud franchise. Time for them to get back to their winning ways. Marcus, what do you think?
And that's why that name for me is Byron Leftwich. Not only the history of playing in this game, but if you talk to anybody in this Tampa organization, the respect and the rapport that he has from these players. Also, remember this, Byron Leftwich has also learned from Tom Brady as well as working with Tom Brady well in developing how they wanted to play football and work through the lulls of what this offense was. I think it'll be a home run for the Bears if they were able to get Byron Leftwich.
Good insight on Byron Leftwich. You got to get on the move, though.
You don't know what time it is.
Swagoo is on the move.
I have never been here in person.
Y'all Swagoo. The Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Colts that I wasn't going to make the BMB this week. Well, one guy that didn't make it is Jeffrey Simmons, and this is my young brother, my brother Jason Hatcher, his nephew. Jeff, this is a phenomenal block in the red, in the end zone, and you get the guy in. But, Jeff, you got to report. You got to say, Ref, 98 checking in. The play doesn't count. Look at the look we have. But it's some more BMBs coming up, and they're going to be fire because y'all know it's Monday.
Like that hoodie. Now fire with that hoodie and blazer. Bro, I didn't even
picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
NFL Live is presented by Windows 11, and Intel brings you closer to what you love.
Some aminals on here. It's a BMB for Monday. Be a special edition.
It's the best segment on television.
Go ahead and get this thing popping. Let me introduce y'all to the big fellas that made plays on Sunday. Morning like it's game time. Not today, damn it. What AI did to Jordan. Look at him, Marcus Smith Jr. with the rip club. Go get the quarterback. We the best damn athletes in the world. We need water and oxygen after we ball. Big man, be ball.
Let's go!
Y'all know what time it is. The big fella showed up and showed out often. And we about to show you why BMB is a special, special, special thing. Not only do we got a record breaker, we got the defensive player of the year. Foremost, TJ Watt. This is a record-breaking sack, y'all. 22 and a half, Michael Strahan. You got company.
Hey, Brett Favre didn't fall down either.
Yeah, we got a new man in the studio today to hype up that BMB. First of all, Baltimore, I don't know what the hell you doing blocking him with a tight end, but you knew damn better. Congratulations, TJ, on getting 22 and a half. Are you kidding me? My man Chandler Jones is starting to show up, and Zach Allen been balling out of his mind. I don't know if y'all been paying attention, but look at the sack. Russ, you can't get away from that. Zach Allen, pick it up, scoop and score. Now watch the celebration.
Get through.
Zach Allen. Look at him, eyes on the ball, get the ball out, scoop and score, be very athletic, bend at the waist, and then explode to the end zone. And dance. And y'all, Lord have mercy, this man, Storm Norton, I'm sorry. I apologize to the right tackle for the Los Angeles Chargers because Max Crosby came into that game and said, son, you are not built for this. I know you think you can play football, but you can't play today. And my man Justin Herbert had a phenomenal game, but it wasn't because of Max Crosby not being in his face. He was holding, he was tripping, he was tackling. Max was like, I'm still going to get your quarterback.
It was not enough, Marcus.
Come on,
hey, put the hood on. We're going back. Put the hood on. Put the hood on. We good. We done. We done. Let's get it. Come on. We walking back.
Passionate
we walking
about these
back.
Big men balling.
Back. We cool. We good.
I be passionate about these big men balling. Y'all see them?
Yeah, we see
them. Y'all see them? Just because we over 260 don't mean we can't ball.
Yeah. Day one.
Put your hood on.
Been like this. Been like this.
Straight up.
We been like this.
Dan, come on, Dan.
Come on now.
You come too.
D1, Swagger, this is for you. The Raiders pass rush was a big problem after trading away Khalil Mack, ranking 31st in the NFL in pressure rate from 2018 to 2020. A much different story this year as Vegas is generating pressure at the sixth highest clip in the league. And Swagoo set us up nicely talking about Max Crosby, a bad man. He's been a catalyst for them this season, finishing with an NFL high 68 pressures
8 of them came last night against the Chargers, many of them at the expense of Storm Norton. Mina, let's get back to you.
Say this for you.
I got this. This is for you. This towel to keep our man Swagoo was about to. He lost about 5 pounds during that last segment. Mina, how important was that Raiders defensive line on Sunday night to winning that game?
It's why they're in the playoffs. I mean, don't get me wrong. Derek Carr made some clutch throws. I thought Josh Jacobs was excellent in this game. But this Raiders defensive line took over the football game. And it wasn't just Max Crosby. You know, Yannick Ngakoue was excellent on the inside. Both Quentin Jefferson, Darius Filon, who, sneaky big loss with an injury. They said he's probably going to be out in the next game. That's something to keep an eye on. Also very good. But, man, Mad Max Crosby took over the football game. One of my favorite Marcus Spearisms is spin cycle. Storm Norton, the right tackle, he wasn't in a spin cycle. He was in a Category 5 hurricane. That dude wanted this football game to end, and I do not blame him watching him. And going forward, when this team plays Cincinnati, we're going to break down this matchup a lot, but the pass rush is going to be so key everything against the Bengals' offensive line. And this performance made me think it could be close.
Coming into this season, Yannick Ngakoue made a statement that him and Max Crosby would lead the league in pressures. Mm. And he said sacks as well. And I was looking, I was thinking about that. I'm like, as bad as y'all were on defense last year, these dudes have won games for the Raiders.
No doubt. Mm.
And look, I know the focus is on Max Crosby and all of that and Yannick, but this defensive line has been unreal in wins. They've dictated how games are being played. But y'all know I got to go to Johnny.
Get to the paperwork.
I got to go to
Come on, Dan.
I called Derek Carr Johnny Cash.
Kind of like that.
Because that's what he looked like. The clutchness, but the ability to make this throw in this moment. Right? This is it, dude.
That's talent.
This is what we talked about just now with Ben Roethlisberger. Ugh. Right? The numbers ain't jumping off the charts. Ain't nobody going to write home about 20 for 36, 186, and 2 touchdowns. Ain't, that will not be – that won't get you player of the month. That won't get you player of your division.
Right.
Derek Carr, in these moments, don't just look at this game, people. Yeah. It was Cleveland.
Yep.
Before that.
Indy.
Yep. Before that. This is not just a one-off.
What'd you say before about his teammates?
Dude, Derek Carr teammates right now, and we all been in locker rooms before.
Okay.
They believe they can win every game they play in.
Yeah.
And
I think that's a real thing.
And it ain't about Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes or this was a unique situation that he was built for. I said that last week. But the bottom line is this. We only talk about you when you win football games and play well.
Right.
Derek Carr has been the most clutch quarterback in the NFL the last 2 months of the season.
They've been in the playoffs for 4 straight games. They won all 4. Now they're in the real playoffs. But, RC, it's been an unusual year for Las Vegas in a lot of different ways. As we sort of zoom out, look at the big picture, who deserves some credit for how they've been able to rally down the strip?
I think Rich Bisaccia deserves some credit, and we aren't giving it to him. This has been the most unique season we've ever seen in the NFL for one team. Neither of his 2019 first-round draft picks are on the team right now. You have some tragedy that not only hits your team, but it hits the community in which you play in. You also lose your head coach, John Gruden, the guy who got a 10-year, $100 million deal. Mm. And all they did was continue to play, continue to fight, continue to be together, continue to push one another. And when you have a guy like Derek Carr who is leading, you need someone in front of him that can delegate, someone in front of him that can be a shield for him as well. And I thought Rich Bisaccia did that the entire year. And a lot of times, you say that the special teams coach, right, deals with every player, but they really don't, right? They deal with more like the bottom third or the bottom half of the roster. And so to take over a team in this situation and to be able to lead in this manner, I thought this was an amazing job by him, and he should be in the running to be the head coach of the future.
Yeah. Is it controversial or hot take-ish to say we got to give some credit to Mike Mayock, their general manager,
not
as well?
At all.
No, not at all.
You know, like, this is a playoff, this is a playoff football team. Yep. It doesn't happen by mistake. And I know that there's been some misses and obviously some questionable draft selections. But there's also the addition of a guy like Casey Hayward that helped. There's also the addition like Denzel Perryman that helped. Yep. There's also the addition, you guys mentioned Filon at the defensive tackle. Alex Leatherwood can't be a bust because he's on the starting offensive line for a playoff football team. Zay Jones, who has stepped in and replaced –
Henry Ruggs has been such a big addition.
Been
so
excellent.
While there's been some questionable decisions by
my favorite,
we got to give him some credit.
My favorite player in the NFL right now is Hunter Renfro, by the way.
Renfro can't get covered.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Can't cover him. He's starting to look like one of those route running
They deserve a lot of credit, man, and
there.
It's beyond football.
Yeah. And by the way, they win last night. No, and they made the playoffs. They're the 5 seed in the AFC. They play the Bengals on Saturday. For Mina, Dan, RC, and Swaggle, I'm Keith. We'll see you tomorrow.
Johnny Cash Jr.